JC2S, Part 2.
Number 20A.
So this is why, as we've seen together now, we recommend scientific obstetrics, and why last year I began the class with scientific obstetrics, really that attitude within us which welcomes the new birth of that divine mind within us. And therefore, that attitude really then of culturing that the teacher is this divine mind and that the student is the divine mind. And we just allow that mind which is God to seek the mind which is God in us. And when we do that, with that attitude, you see, that gets rid of all that which doesn't want to go forward. This is why obstetrics is so good, because after the mind tone that says, well, we're willing to let that mind which is God speak to the mind which is God in us. And then she says, what that begins to do is detach from us all material conceptions at the point of spirit of why the birth should not go on within us. It begins to handle all those struggles within our consciousness of why we won't let go of the human mind as a remedy. Why we keep to that personal mind, we keep trying to solve things from our own personal standpoint and not yield to the divine mind through the humility of the Christ attitude that scientific obstetrics gives us, to let the divine mind solve the struggles, and Mrs. Eddy says at the point of soul, so the birth will be natural and safe. So seeing therefore that it's this mind now which is the remedy that really solves those struggles within us and does bring out the safe birth, that mind therefore we see is the remedy. Now we saw then that it's the medicine, it never uses matter as medicine, and therefore we get the understanding now at soul that mind is superior to any other standpoint. So that's why as truth, as mind is spirit, we see therefore that truth, if we look at the epitome now of spirit, that truth controls only through spiritual and not through material means. Certainly we were beginning to feel that already in the mind tone, that mind which comes to us will not yield to spiritualism, because spirit is that one valued logic. Spirit is the logic of the equipollence of God, which always says that only the spiritual is real, hence the awful unreality called evil. And it certainly will never, therefore, yield to spiritualism. Never in its logic can God ever be turned into its opposite. And it certainly, in its logic, would never use the channels of that false belief in order to make itself known, especially in this healing process of the Christ. So we see then that truth is spirit, that mind, therefore, controls error only through its own spiritual means and not through material means. This is what is being brought out in the next tone of truth is spirit. And therefore we see that as Mrs. Eddy says, well, I want to build up more information concerning that tone of truth is spirit, so I'll give it to you in three sub tones, only to make sure I know you get it. So she says, all right, it's truth is spirit. So that we see mind is only working through its own spiritual channels. Therefore, she says, as truth, as spirit, as mind, that the power of mind, see, that's the mind of Christ. It has the power. We just saw, yes, of course it has the power. The mind of Christ has behind it that whole mind which is principle, dynamic power. It has within itself its whole potential power of principle, a whole dynamic power of life, a whole conscious power of truth, that whole total engaging power of love. It has within itself that whole subjective power, and therefore it doesn't need any cooperation from any so-called power, any material power. Why should it? What is greater than mind having within itself the subjective power of the powers of principle, life, truth, and love? So we can see those powers are just child's play compared to the power of the divine mind, which is Christ. Then we say, yes, that truth is spirit, that mind a power. Therefore, we see certainly goes against human willpower. Human willpower falls before the power of mind as the Christ. She says that that principle mind is imperative. It cannot be mocked by human will. It's just mockery to try to use our human willpower in a situation, to heal a situation, to go in and try to manipulate it and control it according to the way we think it should be, so that it comes out the way we have designated it should happen. And we see all the time how the human will gets in there and tries to make things go the way it wants it to go, the only way it can cope with how it should go. But this power of mind comes and breaks down that human will as a source of power in the healing factor. And she says that, in fact, just is detrimental, that human will. And it, all it does is produce evil continually. It's quite a shabby method of practice, she says. And then she says, well, ultimately, truth is spirit, as soul, therefore that immortal mind in the spirit for recovery, that it's ultimately therefore the power of mind, that mind's will, which is mandatory in law, that power of within mind, which is therefore the powers of principle, life, truth, and love, objectifying themselves as the powers of soul, spirit, mind, subdue the beliefs of mortal minds. So we begin to see, yes, that with even the next tone of truth is spirit, how we begin to get a stronger understanding of how that mind methods of healing go on. Now, what I'd like us to do today is not to get overly involved in all these details of coloring, because we start to make it complicated because there starts to become so many main tones, subtones, and sub-subtones. So if we will just take the big points and not be worried about the details today, otherwise there's just too much in the symphonic structure to be concerned about all the little extra tones and values that are coming in to the main theme that is reading horizontally. We want to keep that big overall main horizontal theme that is running through the text, and let these beautiful supports that fill in the main theme, that give it the flesh, that give it the breadth and depth and height, let all this come in, but let us not be concerned. We want to maintain that main melody when we go through it for the first time. So when we mark now our epitomes, we see then that truth is spirit, that truth controls air. Well, that's the Christ, which is always controlling air through mind, that is the medicine. But it shows that truth controls air only. There's a tone of spirit through its own channels of the Christ. And therefore, only through its spiritual channels. So you hear, truth is spirit. And certainly not through any false channels, such as through material channels. And then we go to truth is spirit is mind, and we say, yes, there's the power of mind. It's a mind tone. That it is not going to go through the channels of mingling or cooperating with drugs. So therefore, it does not coalesce, mingle, or cooperate. That's meaning it's not going through the channels, those material channels called drugs. And then at truth, as spirit, it says, yes, that whole sense then of that human willpower, human beliefs, those are just now material channels. And those material channels are detrimental. They aren't, they're the opposite of the Christ. They really have that anti-Christ feeling to them. Instead of bringing us forward, they actually do the opposite. They produce evil continually. They make us go in the opposite direction. They bring in those laws of entropy. They cause us to retrograde rather than to go forward. And then at the point of truth is spirit is soul, we see therefore in the struggle, that's that truth is spirit, the struggle tone of spirit is coming in, for recovery, the soul tone, because it always has to do with the re-translation, the reversal, the rediscovery, the reformation, that's that soul of the hinge of the second translation. The spirit of immortal mind subdues soul, the belief of mortal minds, those false remedies. So we'll go to the text and we'll begin to read the text, and then we will look at what she says. Now this one here of truth is spirit is spirit, we find now on page 144, line 8. And it's not such a long one. Under two marginal headings, soul and sense and willpower detrimental. The various mortal beliefs formulated in human philosophy, physiology, hygiene, are mainly predicated of matter and afford faint gleams of God or truth. The more material a belief, the more obstinately the... Excuse me. I'm sorry, I did look that up today too, Ellen. It's obstinately tenacious, right?
Obstinately.
Yeah, well, she put the accentuation. Yes, that's true. I did have that. So you're right. It's obstinately. That's right, obstinately. Ellen and I had a nice chat about how we should make sure these words are correct, and I looked it up, and now I missed the mark I had on there. That's right, it wasn't long. It's obstinately. Thank you, Ellen. We are progressing with the evolution of science, aren't we? All right, thank you. The more obstinately tenacious its error, the stronger are the manifestations of the corporeal senses, the weaker the indications of soul. She says, human willpower is not science. Human will belongs to the so-called material senses, and its use is to be condemned. Willing the sick to recover is not the metaphysical practice of Christian Science, but is sheer animal magnetism, quite strong. Human willpower may infringe the rights of man. It produces evil continually and is not a factor in the idealism of being. Truth, excuse me, I am sorry. I think when I become so conscious of reading it correctly, I then begin to miss the sentences. I'll just be myself, all right? Truth and not corporeal will is the divine power which says to disease, peace, be still. All right, so when we go through the text, let's just pick the big overall points of spirit. There's going to be a lot of them, and the big overall points of truth. Now, we can do that very quickly. We see the various mortal beliefs formulated in human philosophy, physiology, and hygiene. Those, therefore, are just the material remedies. So that's just, we would mark in our opposite of spirit tone, which would use spiritual remedies. So human philosophy, physiology, and hygiene are material channels, the opposite of the spiritual channels. And they are predicated of matter. the opposite of spirit. And a fourth, faint gleams of God or truth of the Christ, that mind which is the Christ. Therefore, the more material, the opposite of spirit, the belief, the opposite of mind, the more obstinately tenacious its air. That is that sense of stubbornness, huh? That's willpower that's coming in. Tenacious its air. That's that wrong, opposite sense of the power of mind, which is stubbornly using the false remedies. She says the stronger, that's the sense of spirit, are the manifestation of the corporeal senses, the weaker the indications of soul. Showing well, if we turn to these material methods, the stronger that they are within our consciousness, that just is, therefore, she shows shutting out the realm of spirit. She already showed that during our first subject, as mind is mind, where she says that these material beliefs shut out the realm of spirit. So again, just that point of indicating if we go to other remedies besides the divine mind and give those ascendancy in our thought, then if they become the stronger, they're going to shut out that realm of spirit. So that realm becomes the weaker within our consciousness. So human willpower, the opposite of mind, of Christ, is not science. Human will belongs to the so-called material senses, and its use is to be condemned. Then she shows that this material method, which is the opposite of the mind of Christ, so you have all those tones there, of willing the sick to recover, is not the metaphysical practice of Christian Science, is not the practice of truth, but is sheer animal magnetism. That is, therefore, of course, that wrong channel, that wrong method, giving power to something else besides the power of the mind of Christ. A material channel. The opposite of truth is spirit, is spirit. Therefore, this channel of human will power may infringe the rights of man. It produces evil, the opposite of spirit, continually, and is not a factor in the realism or that which is real, spirit, of being. Now this all has that sense of truth. Truth and not corporeal will is the divine power which says to disease, peace, be still. So we have that whole sense there in that last sentence of that Christ power. So as we turn now to making an abstraction, we see then that these abstractions just keep bringing out the spiritual structure behind the subject and not the details. And this is what we want in the first go. So therefore we want to maintain the big point that we saw here, that of truth as spirit, where therefore that divine mind, which is the mind of Christ, is controlling error. Therefore, only through its channels, through its spiritual channels, and not through any material channels. So we have to just keep listening to that big point. What are the spiritual channels that the mind, which is Christ, uses? So therefore, truth is spirit as mind. We saw that it uses only the channels of the power of mind. And now truth is spirit, is showing that it does not use the channels of human will power. So this is giving it into the, of first of all, it says what it uses, which is mind power, and now it's spirit. It says, and the opposite, spiritualism, is not a channel. You don't use it. So therefore, we don't use that of human willpower, mind power. It's detrimental. So we say, yes, therefore those material mortals' beliefs, which are formulated in human philosophy, physiology, hygiene, that really form the basis of the science, theology, and medicine. That human philosophy is that field of reasoning which has formed a false science, a false theology, a false medicine. Therefore, those are just on false, false material means. Therefore, because they are mainly predicated of matter. So we just saw, therefore, the main point then, why we stay away from spiritualism, she says, and we don't go to these means, because they're going to work against us. They become so obstinately tenacious. They become so stubborn, because they take on the opposite of the strength of spirit. See? And that word, obstinate, tenacious, is very good, because you think with something that is obstinately tenacious, doesn't that sound stubborn? It just won't yield. So therefore we say it takes the diametrically opposite standpoint of the strength of spirit. It becomes so rigid that it within our consciousness takes the ascendancy, and we just begin to lose. It shuts out the strength of spirit. That's why that belief, you know, in the minor prophets there, I believe it's Nahum, that handles the belief of the tenacity of air. That air is so tenacious that it wants to say that air is more powerful than truth. And that's where it's coming here. It's trying to say that this air now becomes more powerful. If you use that human mind power, it just is going to work in the reverse. And then we have all hell to go against it, you see? And so that's why Nahum shows through its laws of the Christ there, that how we have to stick to mind power, and there the struggle within the laws of Nahum to break down this resistance that is set up against us, that universal collective and belief of the power of error over truth. You know that's how tenacious that is in a healing. How that error just doesn't want to yield. So it's because, and we can handle it here through truth is spirit is spirit. If we're up against a physical claim that just doesn't yield, this is where we handle it, at truth as spirit is spirit. And we handle it in saying, well, somewhere there's human willpower in me. Somehow it's still there. Now, consciously, I've tried to submit myself to the Christ, to that one mind, but evidently maybe through genealogy, maybe the family has stubborn traits within it. Maybe there was a powerful mother behind our life, or a powerful father behind our life, or a powerful teacher behind our life, or a powerful something or other behind our life. And that human will, we're suffering under. And, you know, human will can come out in all sorts of physical claims in our life. And so it's uncovering of an error. We don't always know immediately what the source is, but it's something against the power of mind. And it doesn't have to be within the individual. It's not our fault so much. If within our childhood we were in a strong human willed situation, then that collective controls the individual. And we suffer for it. Comes out in us. You know how children suffer for the environment that they were raised in. Well, that just comes out later on. That cause has its effect. See, that's that belief, isn't it? That what happens in the childhood doesn't come out right away. It comes out in the future. And suddenly we're faced with this claim. And so where did it come from? We don't know. Well, you see, that's the mind of Christ uncovering its origin. It can only uncover the origin. And perhaps it has uncovered here that is there. That's what this is saying. If that's there, then that claim is going to be tenacious. It's going to be quite a claim, because it has that willpower behind it. So go back to the mind of Christ and saying, all right, that willpower, as she says here, is not science. It's just all a false sense against us, and so we go back to the mind of Christ and just through humility say, all right, that claim is broken. Through that humility I have to every day take scientific obstetrics and know that the mind which is God is my mind. I have no other mind than the mind which is God, and I submit myself to that mind of Christ and to the power of that mind of Christ to bring to me every moment that the ideal form of the specific situation, and I yield to it and I let that happen. I let what mind brings to me to guide and lead me on every event of my career. So within our consciousness, as we break down that human willpower within us, that begins to operate in the ever-present now, as it begins to operate in the ever-present now, that nowness of life, you see that because this truth is operating within that living theology, this is the living theology we go out from here. This is the practice, the living practice of the principle. Now that begins at that point of life, because that lives within us to heal the past and the present and the future. So we heal the past at this point, if we were under any sense of a human willpower. And it heals the present and it heals the future, because it keeps that living practice of that only power that is going on is mind power and not human will, that objectifies itself as this tenaciousness called air. Mm-hmm. You see how it works? It's very practical. Now, when we see it, we go and we into our closet, be a real Noah at this point of spirit. And once we see the truth, now the point of a Noah is to separate ourselves from any. We put the problem now in the corner. The truth behind the air has been revealed, and now we focus on that truth. We go out from that truth. We don't reason anymore from sense testimony of the claims of the body aching at the still at all. We don't worry about it anymore. We found the truth. We forget the body can do what it wants to do. Now we just go to consciousness. And we begin to concept build on the vision that mind brought us. And then we begin to tonality build. We begin to identify with that in prayer. And we go over it and over it. That's tonality building. Begin to identify with that vision. Keeping the floods of any suggestion away that anything else is going on besides that vision. And as we begin to focus on that vision and ponder as a Noah, then we enter the land of our true identity, huh? The land of the promised land. It becomes definite within us. We get that definiteness of soul as we will go on to the next subtone. Mm-hmm.